good morning, Spanish River. How are y'all doing this morning? Man, it is good to see you guys. And this is one of the most exciting Sundays of the year for us because this is our church planting Sunday. My name is Chan Kilgore, and I'm a church planter. 17 years ago, in an ordinary conversation with Pastor David Nicholas, who Pastor Tommy referred to earlier, he looked at me and he goes, with his big hands, a 6'8", 6'9", whatever, tall pastor, said, "You need to plant a church." And in that ordinary conversation, it led my wife and I, Stacy, to Orlando 17 years ago to plant Cross Point Church. And out of that church came 8 other Cross Point congregations and a couple of dozen church plants from all over the world, all in partnership with Spanish River Church. And so we're here to thank you this morning because it is your ordinary moments of ministry and sacrificial giving that brings about extraordinary impacts by God around the world globally. And so 17 years ago, I had this ordinary conversation with a young man in college named Ryan. And Ryan came to Christ and he was one of our first baptisms. This is an ordinary moment. 15 years later, we would plant Ryan Walker, who's sitting right down somewhere, with Spanish River to plant Cross Point downtown. Extraordinary impact that God is having from ordinary conversations. Paul prays this powerful prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And the essence of the prayer is that we would know the length and the width and the depth and the height of God's love, even though we couldn't comprehend it, but that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. And then in verse 20, he prays this powerful prayer. He says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." And then he says, "Amen. So let it be, so let it be." And so here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, for those of us who are captivated by the length and the breadth and the depth and the width of God's love, that in ordinary moments of life, that he would do immeasurably more beyond anything we could ask or imagine, according to his Spirit that works so mightily within us. Now, for 17 years, I've been coming to this conference as a church planter and pastoring Cross Point Church. 4 months ago, I came on staff here at Spanish River Church as a church planting director. And so for the first time, I got to serve in leading and serving and caring for these church planters. And the greatest thing about this retreat is listening to how these stories of ordinary moments of ministry, which lead to God doing an extraordinary impact in people's lives. And so here's what we want to do this morning. I want to invite 4 church planters up and let them tell their story of ordinary moments of ministry that lead to an extraordinary impact by God. And so welcome Dave Myers from Brisbane, Australia. Tone Benedict from Jacksonville, Ricardo Agreste from Campinas, Brazil, and Eduardo, who is absolutely brilliant because he's planting in Ipanema in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, which is absolutely a beautiful place to live. And Eduardo is going to help translate for Ricardo from Portuguese to English, all right? So this morning's theme is ordinary ministry that leads to an extraordinary impact. And so here's what I want us to do. First question is just give us the context in which you do ordinary everyday ministry. Dave.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having us. We love Spanish River and love the investment that you are making in us around the world. I'm from the other side of the world, from down under, mate. I just spoke to someone who said Australia's a little bit like tropical Canada. It's a massive big country with lots of empty bits, uninhabitable bits. There's 25 million people. I come from a city called Sydney, which many people would be familiar with. We joined a church plant in Melbourne that was started 11 years ago. Our family, my wife Rowena and I and our three kids moved to Melbourne to do a church plant residency there with a church called City on a Hill. There's now four churches in and around Melbourne, Victoria, but we went there for 18 months with a view to moving to Brisbane, some 1,500 miles north, much more tropical. And so we landed there about 3 years ago, and we launched publicly 2 years ago, and we open the Bible, we pray, we proclaim Christ. We've seen some 30-odd people become Christian, praise God.
Amen.
Baptized about 20. We've got another 10 getting baptized in the next couple of weeks. And we've seen many gospel awakenings, many people who were far from church or far from God, who may have had some type of Christian background, but have been reawakened to the good news of Jesus. And we've now got about 250 that are meeting Sunday by Sunday. And wow. Many of those just months ago and years ago weren't in churches. Their lives have been transformed as we've done that simple work, actually, of setting forth the truth of the gospel of Jesus' death and resurrection. We've seen a profound impact as we've gone about that task.
That's amazing. That's incredible. Tone, tell us the context in which you do ordinary ministry.
All right. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, which is like four and a half hours north of here. We live like about a mile outside of the city center. And so it's Riverside, if you've been up there or anything like that. It's a very diverse community. Early on, just started meeting in my backyard. And then pretty quickly, we got into the context of a rehab and recovery. We wanted to find a place to serve. The well stands for worship, eat, live, love. And that love being loving people in tangible ways, not with our words, but actually serving and loving people who are the least of these. And so I ended up showing up at the local, which was 7 blocks from my house, rehab. And I asked if I could bring barbecue for everyone. And the lady that ran it was like, yeah, definitely. And I brought some people with me, and I brought a bunch of barbecue. And I sat down next to a guy named Daryl, he was a transvestite Jehovah's Witness. And I didn't even know how that worked. But as I talked to him and ate lunch with him, he just says, I don't feel like my father loves me. I don't feel like God loves me. And I said, well, I assure you, he does love you. And he says, Pastor Tone, I need a man like you in my life. And I said, well, I mean, you need a man like Jesus in your life, but I'll be your friend. And so I ended up being his friend and continuing to build that relationship with him. But over the past 5.5 years, we've baptized over almost 300 people.
Amazing.
Probably 60 to 70% of our people have come through rehab or recovery, have been in some type of addiction. And so that's a big group and so we speak this language of we're trafficking in life and the Holy Spirit, not in drugs and prostitution, but in Jesus. And so that's really, and so much like you, our people were not in church before. And for many church people, it's not necessarily the most comfortable place to be. If that's kind of, you have a history of that. But anyways, right now, a guy that's preaching for me, he was in prison 4 years ago, and he is on fire. I think he preaches the gospel maybe better than me. but I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful for the work that God's done in his life. And, as we make disciples, that work keeps going out, man.
Yeah. Man, what a beautiful context. Yeah. And then my dear friend Ricardo from Capitas, tell us your context.
Well, I'm going to speak in Portuguese because my friend here, you want me help, okay? Eu vivo na cidade de Campinas, Brasil.
I live in the city of Campinas, Brazil.
Campinas é uma cidade com cerca de 1.2 milhões de habitantes.
Campinas is a city with around 1.2 million people living there.
E a população de Campinas tem perfil muito claro.
And Campinas population has a very clear profile.
As pessoas gostam de tecnologia.
People like technology.
Eles acreditam muito no conhecimento.
They strongly believe in knowledge.
E eles acreditam também que o dinheiro vai trazer felicidade para eles.
And they also believe that money is going to bring them happiness.
A nossa cidade está cercada por empresas de alta tecnologia.
Our city is surrounded by high-tech companies.
Muitas universidades.
Many colleges and universities.
Uma das maiores universidades do Brasil está em Campinas.
One of the biggest universities of Brazil is in Campinas.
10% da população de Campinas é estudante universitário.
10% of Campinas population is made of university students, college students.
E em 2001 nós começamos uma igreja com uma visão.
And in 2001 we started a church with a vision.
Alcançar essa população brasileira.
To reach out to this part of Brazilian population.
Que grande parte das igrejas evangélicas do Brasil não consegue alcançar.
That most part of the evangelical churches in Brazil are not able to reach out to.
A igreja no Brasil alcança com muita facilidade e cresce muito entre a população de baixa renda.
In Brazil, churches are able to easily reach out to those of a low income.
Mas tem muita dificuldade de evangelizar aqueles que estão no poder, poder econômico, poder político, poder acadêmico.
But it's very hard for the Brazilian church to evangelize, to reach out to those who are in power, economic power, political, and also academic power.
E nós acreditamos para que haja transformação social. Essa classe dominante precisa compreender o evangelho e ter os seus corações transformados.
And we believe that in order to have social transformation in Brazil, those people who are in power, they need to be reached out to and they need to have their hearts transformed.
Então nós começamos a igreja em 2001 e nós tínhamos 40 pessoas no nosso primeiro culto.
So we planted the church in 2001. And in our very first service, we had 40 people.
Para mim, aquilo era uma grande multidão.
For me, that was a great crowd.
Eu nunca acreditei que nós seríamos tanta gente no primeiro culto.
I had never believed that so many people would turn out to the first service.
E naquele momento, meu sonho era conseguir ter uma igreja com 100, 120 pessoas.
And back then, my dream was to plant a church that would have like 100, 120 people.
Mas passados alguns anos,
but after some years,
nós temos uma igreja em Campinas.
We have a church in Campinas,
que aos domingos reúne cerca de 1.200 pessoas.
That gathers around 1,200 people every Sunday.
Thank you. E cerca de 1.300 pessoas nos acompanham todos os domingos pela internet.
And about 1,300 people watches online our services on the internet.
São 2.500 pessoas todos os domingos.
So that's like 2,500 people every Sunday.
Wow. E a partir dessa experiência,
and from that experience,
muitos jovens pastores começaram a plantar novas igrejas.
Many young pastors started planting new churches.
E nós temos feito parcerias com eles.
And we have partnered with them.
E nos últimos 14 anos, nós temos plantado 56 novas igrejas no Brasil e no Chile.
And in the last 14 years, we have planted 56 new churches in Brazil and in Chile.
Wow, that's it.
Deus tem feito coisas extraordinárias no nosso meio.
God has done some extraordinary things among us.
Enquanto nós obedecemos ele de maneira ordinária.
As we obey him in an ordinary way.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's beautiful, yeah. It's really cool because the three of you are in radically different contexts and different contents, but yet in the ordinary moments of everyday ministry, you guys are seeing God have an extraordinary impact. Tell us some of those stories, Dave.
Yeah. When Rowena and I first started gathering together a team to join us to plant City on a Hill in Brisbane, seeking to know Jesus and make Jesus known. One of the things we wanted to say from the start was that it wasn't us as a couple that wanted to plant a church. We wanted a team of people that we would plant a church. And the reality has been God has answered that prayer, and ordinary men and women have stepped up actually in extraordinary ways. Ordinary people with ordinary jobs, doctors and nurses and teachers and other healthcare workers and stay-at-home mums and all sorts of different people have come together in the ordinary moments of life and are giving of themselves with humility, with courage, with sacrifice as they've joined us in the mission of reaching the 2.5 million lost people in our city with the good news of Jesus. There's one young lady, her name's Grace. We've got a lot of international students. She's a dentist student. She's from Singapore, and she loves Jesus. She's quiet. She's unassuming. No one's ever seen her up front. She's just kind of behind the scenes. But she's making the most of opportunities with classmates, with friends of classmates, just to reach out, to be conscious of the people around her. And she's got good news. She's got something worth sharing. And about a year ago, she brought a friend of hers, his name was Andrew, along to our Christianity course called Introducing Jesus. And Andrew is an Australian-born Chinese man with a Buddhist background, no real idea on the things of Christ. And they started to have conversations about Christ. And he came along to the course. And by the end of the course, he had a real clarity on who Jesus is and why Jesus came, what it means that he died on the cross and that he was raised again, and started to understand the implications for his life. And I still remember catching up with him a couple of weeks later over lunch, and he's like, look, I get this stuff, you know, I believe this, I believe that, you know, I want what Jesus is offering. When am I allowed to call myself a Christian? We just kind of checked a few things. I thought, look, man, I think you can. I think you already are a Christian, you know. Praise God for his work in Andrew's life. But the really cool thing is seeing the way that has now transformed him. He's not just part of the Introducing Jesus course. He's part of our Sunday services. He's in a gospel community, a smaller community. He's serving. He got baptized at Easter this year, and he's now looking for opportunities to make Jesus known as well. He's a talented dancer. He's like a hip-hop b-boy type of rap dancer thing. He's very cool. But he runs a dance troupe at one of the universities. And so he's thinking, how do I use the relationships on the university campus within the dance troupe to influence people and engage people with the gospel of Jesus? Really, really cool stuff happening. Then you've got Grace, the one who brought him along. She hasn't stopped. She's still thinking of who are the people that she can share Jesus with. And so just a couple of months ago, she brought another one of her classmates along. Her name's Ashley. Ashley is an international student as well. She's from Vietnam, and she has she doesn't have a Christian background at all, and started asking questions about religion and started asking questions about life, and Grace was able to engage her with the good news of Jesus. And she also brought her along to our Introducing Jesus course, and again, by the end of it, Ashley had clarity on who Jesus is. She wanted to follow Jesus, and I caught up with Ashley a couple of weeks ago, and she's become a Christian. It's really cool. It's really cool to see what God has done. But now she's starting to work out, what does it look like to count the cost of following Jesus? He died for me. He was raised again. He's now number one in my life. And so what impact is that going to make? We're doing a teaching series at the moment at City on a Hill called Him and Her, where we're tracing from Genesis to Revelation, creation to new creation, the storyline of how men and women created in the image of God are called to relate to one another. And it's been a profound series that's had a profound impact upon many people. But we had a sermon on dating a couple of weeks ago. And one of the things we spoke about with dating is if you're a believer, you're going to pursue relationships with other believers. As you think through marrying someone, believers marry believers. The believers marry others who also have Jesus as the number one in their life. And she got this and was moved by this, and we caught up and kind of talked that through. She has a boyfriend, a long-term boyfriend from Vietnam. They've known one another since childhood. Ashley spoke about how women in Vietnam are not respected, how wives and mothers are not treated well. She's seen that firsthand, and it's rare for a good man that treats his bride well in Vietnam, according to Ashley. And this boyfriend of hers is from a good family with a good dad. You know, he's a good man, but he doesn't follow Christ. And she knows that to follow Christ will probably involve breaking the relationship with him. It's kind of a bit of a grace period at the moment. We're talking with him and trying to engage him. He doesn't live in our city, so that's tricky to engage him with the gospel. But she knows that Jesus is number one, and so she's really working out what does that look like to follow Jesus, and even the implications for a very dear relationship. But Jesus matters more. And so just extraordinary to see just the impact that one girl, Grace, has had in Andrew's life, and now how he's thinking through how to apply the gospel and share the gospel, how Grace has had an impact in her friend Ashley's life, and how she's wrestling with the implications of having Jesus as number one. And look, the reality is we've got so many stories of the ones. It's not standing up on the university campus and proclaiming Christ from a soapbox, though you're welcome to do that if you want. It's the one-on-one conversations. It's the one-on-one opportunities as you go about life, as you build relationships with the people around you. And there's just so many stories of God's grace among us, including through Grace.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, the beauty of Grace's story is so often we think we have to make this huge impact in order for God to do something extraordinary for us, but it's actually in those ordinary moments that God often has the greatest impact in Andrew and Ashley's life through grace, right? Amen. That's amazing.
Amen.
That's amazing. Tone, where have you seen in ordinary ministry God do extraordinary things?
Okay, well, I got like two things. I know I was just going to do one, but I'll do two.
Do two.
But the first one is just this girl, Jamie. She started coming to the well. Now, if you know, like I was saying about our people, she was arrested for prostitution. She was trying to get that expunged and different things, but she was not a Christian, and she started to come, and I asked her if she wanted to have coffee. Now, Jamie didn't even have like half of her teeth at this point, and I'm sitting there, and then she just tells me, listen, I'm hearing what you're saying about Jesus, and if you, and she says BS, but she said the whole word, so I'm going to call you out right in the middle of it. I'm like, you're just going to say it real loud in the middle of service or what? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I guess you should do that then, you know? And it's funny because the guy that's preaching, his now wife, she was meeting with her as her sponsor. And so this girl, Taj, is like, she's like, I think I need Jesus. And Jamie's like, you don't need Jesus. You just need AA. And as they walked away from that meeting, Jamie said that Jesus said to her, you need to know who I am before you tell people that you don't need me. Mm-hmm. Before you tell people they don't need me. Mm-hmm. And that was like one of her aha moments. And this year, she just got an award. She is, for Florida, she is the top advocate for women coming out of trafficking. And so they gave her this award. So she works for an organization. And so Jesus is good and bringing her out of that life, and she's just baptized her son a while ago, and it's just really cool. There's another thing. I just kind of say that in the community I'm in, so like I talk about Jesus cleaning us from our sins, and so you know, being clean is a big part of that community of people in recovery. And so people say, I have 2 weeks clean, I have a year clean, I have a week clean, and that, you know, means they don't have drugs and alcohol in their system. And so this thought is coming, you know, God loves to see people get clean, you know, from their sins, from their addiction. Love loves to see people get clean. And so I'm at the Starbucks one day, and I'm sitting there, and I'm actually reading about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He's getting them clean. And I go to the bathroom. I'm standing in line for the bathroom, and the line is getting longer and longer, and nobody's coming out. And then finally a guy comes out of the bathroom, and it's a homeless guy, and he had just kind of taken a shower in the sink. You know, you can see a big ring around it, a big smell comes out of the bathroom, and people are like, oh. And I thought, man, I bet he feels really good right now. I love to take showers. When I come down here and if I'm in a hotel, I'm going to take 4 showers in one day. I don't care. I'm going to work out, I'm going to run, I'm going to take another shower. You know, I love showers. And so then I thought, man, I should probably do something about that, you know, because love loves to see people get clean. And so that just was a thought in my head. So since then, I raised money and we bought this shower unit. We give about 50 showers a week, 40 to 50 showers a week. It's called Love Cleans. And so we just go around. And a lot of our people, addiction had led them into being on the streets and not having showers. And so anyway, one of the cool things was this guy, Ian, and he became a Christian about a year and a half ago. And I was out of town, but the news came to interview us. And so Ian's over here packing up hygiene bags, and they're just like, you know, what do you guys do? And he's telling me, I was homeless for 3 years as he's packing these hygiene bags. And then he shares the gospel with them on the news. And it was just awesome. And I was like, so glad I wasn't there that day, you know? Yeah. And you know, it's just kind of cool. Just recently, this football season, so we kind of partner with the Jacksonville Jaguars a little bit. They give us a little money and stuff like that. But so they say they give us these tickets on sale at a cheaper price or whatever. So I bought all these tickets for the Patriots game, which the Jaguars beat the Patriots. I don't know if you knew that. but, yeah. Go figure. But anyways, so the next game, I said, well, you know, because I was looking at some of these guys that were taking showers. I said, hey, have you ever been to a Jags game? And they said, no. And I said, would you like to go to one? They're like, yeah. And so the money that I raised from selling all these tickets to the Patriots game, which all those Patriots fans paid a lot of money, But all the money I raised, I brought about 30 to 40 homeless people to the Jags game the next week. Wow. I said, you have to come to church to get the ticket, though, and then we'll take you over to the game. Yeah. And so we had about 30 to 40 homeless people in our service, and we brought fried chicken in bags, and we went, and it was so great. I mean, the Jags lost, but it was so great to see their faces. They were like, don't be down because they lost. I'd never been to a game. This was awesome. And, you know, that's just part of loving people. You know, it says love real big on the side of our building. But, you know, we don't want to just be about words. Jesus wasn't just about words, right? He came down from heaven. He didn't just say, hey, I love you, get up here. He came down to be with us. And I just want to encourage you, man, just love the people around you.
Yeah, amen, amen. Like, who would have thought in an ordinary moment, waiting in line for the bathroom in Starbucks, that God would give you an idea that would have such an extraordinary impact? That's just amazing. Thanks, Tom. So Ricardo, Matt, just tell us how God is doing extraordinary things through the ordinary moments of ministry in Campinas.
Okay, começando por momentos extraordinários.
I'm going to start with ordinary moments.
Quando eu olho hoje a minha vida, o meu ministério e o movimento de plantação de igrejas no Brasil.
When now I look back and I think of my life, my ministry, the church planting movement in Brazil.
Eu fico altamente surpreso.
I'm highly surprised.
Deus fez imensamente mais do que um dia nós sonhamos.
God has done immensely more than what we could ever dream.
Deus tem feito muito mais do que a nossa capacidade de realizar qualquer coisa.
God has done a lot more than our ability to accomplish things.
Mas como tudo isso começou?
But how all that started?
Eu poderia ser tentado a dizer que 20 anos atrás Deus me deu uma visão.
I could be tempted into saying that 20 years ago God gave me a vision.
E eu construí tudo o que acontece hoje lá.
And I built everything that's going on in Brazil right now.
E eu seria um grande mentiroso.
And I would be a big liar.
Porque eu não fui para uma cidade estratégica como Campinas.
Because I did not go to such an strategic city such as Campinas.
Mas a coisa aconteceu através de um momento ordinário.
But things happened through an ordinary moment.
Em 1996, eu estava estudando nos Estados Unidos.
In 1996, I was studying in the US.
E eu recebi a notícia que a minha mãe havia sofrido um infarto.
And I was told that my mom had suffered a heart attack.
E eu fui rapidamente para o Brasil.
And I went to Brazil immediately.
Graças a Deus, depois de alguns dias, ela estava recuperada.
Thank God, after a few days, she was recovered.
E antes de voltar para os Estados Unidos, eu peguei a minha família para visitar o meu sogro e a minha sogra.
And before coming back to the U.S., me and my family, we went to Campinas to visit my in-laws, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law.
E quando eu cheguei na cidade de Campinas, eu deixei a minha esposa na casa dos seus pais.
And when we got to Campinas, I left my wife at her parents' house.
E disse para ela, eu vou até o seminário presbiteriano da cidade, onde eu tenho amigo que está dando aula, eu quero vê-lo.
And I told her, I'm going to the Presbyterian seminary that we have in Campinas. I have a friend of mine who teaches there, and I want to see him.
E quando eu cheguei lá, estava conversando com esse amigo.
And when I got to the seminary, I was talking to this friend.
E de repente, o diretor do seminário entrou na sala dele.
And suddenly, the director of the seminary walked into his office.
Ele não sabia que eu estava lá.
He did not know that I was there.
Ele demonstrou surpresa porque ele achava que eu estava nos Estados Unidos.
He was surprised because he thought that I was in the U.S.
E ele perguntou para mim o que eu estava fazendo aqui nos Estados Unidos e quando eu retornaria para o Brasil.
And then he asked me what I was doing here in the U.S. and when I was coming back to Brazil.
Então ele disse, por que você não volta para o Brasil para dar aula aqui no seminário?
And then he said, Ricardo, why don't you come back to Brazil and be one of our professors here at the seminary.
Eu disse para ele, porque você não me convidou.
And I told him, because you haven't invited me to.
E aí eu recebi o convite para voltar ao Brasil, para a cidade de Campinas.
And then I was invited to come back to Brazil, to the city of Campinas.
Não foi ideia minha.
It was not my idea.
Eu fui para Campinas.
I went to Campinas.
Porque um momento aparentemente ordinário.
Because a seemingly ordinary moment.
Hoje eu percebo que era um momento extraordinário.
Today I can see that it was an extraordinary moment.
E quando eu estava como professor naquele seminário.
And when I was a professor at that seminary.
Um dia uma professora me encontrou no corredor.
One day a professor ran into me at the hallway.
E ela disse, Ricardo, o meu marido se converteu há poucos anos e ele nunca foi discipulado.
And she said to me, Ricardo, my husband came to Christ a few years ago, but he's never been discipled.
E eu tenho alguns amigos interessados em conhecer mais sobre Jesus.
And I have some friends that are interested in knowing more about Jesus.
Você poderia estudar a Bíblia com eles?
Would you be willing to study the Bible with them?
E eu rapidamente aceitei porque eu tenho paixão em fazer isso.
And I immediately said yes because I'm passionate about doing that.
Mas o que eu não sabia.
But what I didn't know
era que aquele encontro aparentemente ordinário
was that encounter seemingly ordinary
ia se transformar em uma obra extraordinária.
It would become something extraordinary.
Naquela casa, centenas de pessoas encontraram a Jesus.
In the house of that professor, hundreds of people came to faith.
A nossa igreja nasceu a partir daquela casa.
Our church was born from that house.
E muitas coisas que nós falamos do movimento de plantação surgiu naquele encontro no corredor do seminário naquele tempo.
And many things we teach in our church planting movement in Brazil was born in that ordinary encounter in the hallway of the seminary.
Mas um terceiro momento aparentemente ordinário.
But the third moment that it seems like an ordinary moment
aconteceu no final do ano de 2003.
Happened by the end of 2003.
O projeto de plantação da nossa igreja em Campinas estava se encerrando.
The church plant project of our church in Campinas was at the end.
E eu vim aos Estados Unidos visitar a igreja que havia sido a nossa parceira.
And I came to the U.S. to visit the church that had been our partners.
Eu queria agradecer aquela igreja e eu queria pedir a parceria para plantar uma nova igreja no Brasil.
I wanted to thank that church and I wanted to ask for partnership for another church we were planting in Brazil.
Aquela seria a nossa primeira filha.
That would be our first daughter church.
Mas a nossa igreja, a igreja que foi parceira,
but the church that was partners with us,
naquele momento tinha uma diferente visão para o Brasil.
Back then they had a different vision for Brazil.
E eles não estavam interessados em plantar uma igreja na cidade que nós gostaríamos.
And they were not interested in planting a church in the city we wanted to plant.
E eu saí daquele encontro muito triste.
And I left that meeting very sad.
E eu estava descendo as escadas daquele prédio.
And I was going downstairs in that building.
E eu encontrei um homem chamado Alan Thompson.
And I ran into this man called Alan Thompson.
E eu conversei com ele sobre o que estava acontecendo.
And I talked to him about what was going on.
E o Alan Thompson disse para mim, você já ouviu falar do Dr. David Nicholas?
And Alan Thompson told me, have you ever heard about Dr. David Nicholas?
Por que você não vai até lá e conversa com ele sobre
Why don't you go there and talk to him about it?
E eu vim pela primeira vez aqui na Spanish River conversar com o Dr. David Nicholas sobre esse primeiro projeto de plantação.
And then I came to Spanish River for the very first time and I talked to Dr. David Nicholas about our very first church plant project.
E aquela foi a nossa primeira parceria de dezenas de outras igrejas que nós temos plantado junto com a Spanish River nos últimos anos.
And that was like the first partnership of dozens and dozens of churches that we've planted throughout the years in Brazil.
E Spanish River nos ajudou a criar o centro de treinamento para plantadores de igreja.
Spanish River helped us to launch the training center for church planters in Brazil.
Uma forma de motivar e treinar jovens pastores a se tornarem plantadores de igreja.
This training center is focused in motivating and training young pastors to become church planters in Brazil.
Há 10 anos atrás nós tivemos o nosso primeiro encontro, a nossa primeira conferência de plantação de igrejas.
10 years ago, we had our first gathering, our first church planting conference.
Pastor Tom Kiris era um dos nossos preletores.
Pastor Tommy Kiris was one of the speakers.
E nós tínhamos uma grande multidão.
And we had a great crowd.
Com 70 pastores, plantadores e líderes.
Of 70 people.
Mas passados 10 anos.
But 10 years later.
Há 2 meses atrás.
2 months ago.
Nós tivemos a nossa 10ª conferência de plantação de igrejas.
We had our 10th church planting conference.
E nós tínhamos 1.600 pastores, plantadores e líderes ali.
And there were 1,600 church leaders and church planters there.
Wow. Então, quando eu olho para o passado,
so, when I look back,
eu percebo que alguns momentos que eu pensei que eram ordinários,
I realized that some moments that I thought would be ordinary,
hoje eu entendo eles eram extraordinários.
Nowadays I realize that they were extraordinary moments.
Nós precisamos ficar atentos porque Deus faz coisas extraordinárias.
We have to pay attention because God does extraordinary things
através de coisas ordinárias.
Through very ordinary means.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for what you do and sharing your stories with us. I want to bring it home for us as a church family. You don't have to go out and do something extraordinary like planting a church to have God use you in an extraordinary way to make an extraordinary impact. Here's what I want you to see from their stories. It's ordinary people like Grace who God uses to have an extraordinary impact. It's ordinary moments like standing in line for a bathroom at Starbucks that God will give you ideas that will have an extraordinary impact. And here's what I want you to hear about Ricardo's story. It is in ordinary conversations that fueled an extraordinary impact by God. But here's also what I want you to see. He didn't begin with this huge vision of 1,600 pastors from all over Brazil coming to a conference. What Ricardo did was ordinary moments
of faithfulness. Ordinary moments of faithfulness, being faithful in those ordinary moments that led to an extraordinary impact. So God can use you. Now, here's the second thing I want to show you. I want you to see about this. Extraordinary impacts often happen long after ordinary moments of faithfulness are lived out. Like, it's not ordinary moment, boom, extraordinary impact. It's often ordinary moment, ordinary days, ordinary weeks, ordinary years before we see God make an extraordinary impact. And that's what we've seen here at Spanish River. It's in ordinary ways you guys have given sacrificially for the cause of the gospel to have extraordinary impacts around the world. Here's where I want you to see this. All of our church planners, will you stand up for a moment? The thing about having an extraordinary impact is often ordinary moments are filled with heartbreak and spiritual warfare. In tears and weeping. And that's what these men and women that you see experience in church planting. They experience the challenge of doing ministry in ordinary ways. And so here's what I want us to do as a church. I want us to pray for these church planters. I'm gonna ask Pastor Tommy to come up and lead us as a church in praying for these church planters. Thank you, Tommy.
I think it's, there it is, beautiful, thank you, Gomi. Just to ride one thing that Chan said as we pray for these guys here and these gals is recognizing the fact that, you know, when I see, Dave, what God's done in 2 years' time and seeing 30 people come to faith in Jesus, it's amazing, absolutely amazing. And then, Tone, I hear the story in the, you know, the multiple hundreds of baptisms, and you see the impact there in Brazil. And that work of God, which is absolutely incredible. And so we oftentimes think, like, that's too much for me. I could never do that. But this guy talked about his friend who said, I can be a friend to you. I can be a friend to you. And every one of these stories is always a one-to-one impact. That's how Jesus works. One-on-one. So we look at these stories and we hear, wow, amazing things that you've done, God. But to reiterate what Chan said, God uses each one of us where he puts us. One on one. That's how he works. Okay, I want to pray. Before I do, there was a 18th century literary critic and biographer, a guy named Samuel Johnson. And Samuel Johnson said, people need to be reminded more often they need to be instructed. I like that. So I'm going to remind our church planting brothers and sisters of something I've already said, not so much to give instruction, but just to reiterate, to remind you where the power comes from. And my mind goes back to my conversations with David Nicholas, who got the big hand in my face and said, the power is not in me, the power is not in you, the power is in the gospel. It's in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said to me, Tommy, remember John 15:5? Jesus said, apart from me, and I know this, but do I know this? You can do nothing. And Paul reminds me over in Philippians 4:13, with me, you can do everything. And to rest, because it's ultimately God's work. And yet at the same time, knowing that God calls us to get out of bed every day and do that work. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, a long time ago, said the heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. It's that nightly toil for God. Or as I shared with you the first service, Spurgeon said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Yeah. And Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord, and that's where it is, in the Lord, your labor is not in vain, is not in vain. So Spanish River, I'm gonna ask you, wherever you are, just to stand up, and we're gonna just pray God's blessings over these folks. And if you're nearby one of them, just put your hand on their shoulder. And if not, join me in prayer as we ask God's blessing. Father, we give you great thanks and great praise because you give us the privilege of linking arms and partnering with people in so many parts of the world that most of us, we've never even set foot, and half the time we're not even thinking about it. And yet you give us the privilege to engage in one way or another in the lives of people around the world through our partnership with these precious, precious people, these church planters and their spouses. And so we say thank you, Lord. It's the way you work that we are laborers together for God. And Lord, we pray for our friends here that you might, as only you can, that you might nourish their hearts and souls with the reality that the power is not in them. That the power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you might rest their souls in the reality of that truth. And at the same time, God, that you would give them the tenacity that Spurgeon speaks of, the perseverance that's required on a day in and day out basis in their service for you. And Lord, I pray, and we pray for them this morning, as Nehemiah did and Ezra did, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. And God, we all know there are days that we just are high-fiving because it's so good, and there are days that we feel in the dumps because it's not. And may in the highs and the lows, may the irrepressible joy of Jesus be their strength as they draw on you. For apart from you, we can do nothing. But through Christ, we can do what you call us to do. So give them that tenacity, that perseverance, that grace. And in Jesus' name we pray. God's people agreed and said, amen. You may have a seat just for a moment if you would, please. You know, you look at this and you hear these stories and you think about, you know, the ones we've seen up here on the stage or the folks that are sitting right here, and we say, why? Why would they do what they do? And the reason they do what they do is because the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done has so gripped their hearts. This is not a concept that they believe. This is a Jesus whom they have experienced in a way that so gripped their hearts. They said, other people have to know this. That we were made to be in relationship with God. The God of the universe made us to be in relationship with him. And yet despite that, every one of us, we run from him. God calls that sin. And although we're designed to be in this amazing relationship with God, we experience brokenness, and we see it. We see it in the world around us in relationships. We see it in a world that's both absolutely amazing and so incredibly broken at the same time. It's the consequence of what the scriptures talk about, this sin. And there's no way, none, that we can work our way back to God. Absolutely none, because none of us are good enough, and yet God, his incredible goodness, comes running after us in a rescue mission, even when we're running away from him. Since Jesus enters into this world like us, and then goes to this cross, and a lot of people, yeah, I heard that thing, Jesus went on the cross, but they don't know why. And on that cross, God took my sin, yours, that which separated you from God, and put it on Jesus, and then pours out all the judgment that I deserved and that you deserved, poured it out on him. And Jesus dies taking my punishment so I don't have to. He's entombed, and 3 days later rises again to make me his adopted son, his adopted daughter, when I put my faith and trust in him. It's amazing. And maybe this morning, some of these words that are being spoken, you've heard this, but it's like it's starting to click, and you've never come to that place where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus and what he's done for you. This is your day. This is your day in your heart of hearts to say, God, I believe. Jesus, save me. And just like that, He makes you his adopted son. Just like that, he makes you his adopted daughter and gives you life that is life indeed. And today we come and we want to conclude our time together by reflecting afresh on what Jesus has done for us on the cross by sharing in communion. And so I want to read you a passage of scripture, what Paul writes, and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed," think about this, "he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And the reason these folks are doing what they're doing, the reason we gather together today, and the reason we as a church are who we are, is because of what Christ did for us on the cross. And this morning we want to come back and we want to sit with that. Kind of experience it afresh. As we hold the bread and as we hold the cup, just sit with it afresh that, God, you did that for me. And let the love and the reality of Jesus grip our hearts anew. So our team are going to come in just a moment. They're going to pass the plates. And as they do, if you've come to that place where you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, take the bread, take the cup, reflect on what he's done. If you've not yet, make today your day. Put your faith in him and then take that bread and take that cup. And if it's not quite there yet, that's okay. But we'd ask that you just let those elements pass. No one will think less of you. No one will look down on you. Just let it pass. Your time will be there. If you have young children, they've yet come to that spot where they've put their faith and trust in Christ. This is not a ritual. This is a part of our relationship with God. Use this as a teaching moment. Our team's going to come and they're going to lead us in song. You can just sit and let them sing over you. Take the bread, take the cup, hold it. And then after everyone's served, I'll come back and we'll take this together, okay? Okay.